Hi everyone, welcome to the Master Self-Love Podcast. I am Larissa Gonzalez, and this podcast is all things self-love, body positivity, self-awareness. All these things, you know, will help you build confidence in yourself and just help you lead a life that you could live based on your own terms. So, you know, if you are tired of not feeling like you are enough, this is the right podcast for you. I talk about topics that are the kind of things that I'm going through and that have helped me tremendously, and I want to pass what I, you know, learn along to others because, you know, that's just important to me, and I feel like, you know, if I help someone, you know, then I've given back because what I've learned has helped me tremendously. So if you've learned something, please share the podcast, share what you learn. You know, tell people to go to masterselflove.com, you know, to help them in their journey. And subscribe, and that way you can listen to new topics every week on your journey. I post every Wednesday, so you know, that will help you to build on top of what you are learning. So today's topic is extremely important in building confidence for yourself. This is learning how to create healthy boundaries for yourself. So I'm going to talk about, you know, how you can become self-aware of the boundaries that you either are or not, or are not creating, and how you may react to, you know, the boundaries, and then coming up with how you can create a plan to set clear boundaries, you know, while still keeping a positive attitude with the ones you love. And, you know, this way you can build your confidence and self-respect. So if you want to, you know, learn all of that, keep on listening. So the other day on my Instagram story on at Master Self Love, if you're not following, please follow on Instagram, I asked everyone a question. I ask questions every Thursdays, by the way, or I have a Q&A, and I give answers or I ask questions, and I post the people who responded their responses or their answers or their questions, and it's done anonymously. And so last week's question, I asked, who makes you feel bad, or who mostly makes you feel bad about your body? And it was so sad to see that most of the answers said it was their own mother and or both parents, but mostly moms. Their moms made them feel bad about their body. And I mean, it doesn't really surprise me after, you know, just all the things that I'm researching, and that, you know, women, you know, are overly sexually objectified in, you know, magazines, movies, just about everywhere you go, and even in person. So women have more body image issues, and so it didn't surprise me that some of the responses, or most of the responses, said it was their mother. My last episode talked about the importance of knowing your purpose and your why, and my purpose for doing this podcast and my blog is to bring awareness to women out there, and to men who are listening for their kids, that, you know, let's break this cycle of body image issues. And so part of my purpose and my why is I don't want, if I ever have, I don't have kids, but if I ever do have children, and mostly a girl, a little girl, like, I do not want her to go through what I've gone through and, you know, self-objectified myself, you know, was looking for my worth in outside sources and tying it to my weight, my appearance. You know, I just said to myself, I got to break this cycle with myself. And that's, I want to do that to, if I ever have children, to, you know, promote better mental health for them. And so, you know, I wanted this, that question really inspired me to talk about the topic of creating healthy boundaries, because I had wanted to write about this for a while, because I had been learning more and more about creating healthy boundaries. It's something that I really wasn't aware of. I mean, I kind of heard it, you know, when people talked about, oh, you know, there's a thin line and you've crossed the line, and but I didn't really understand how to create that line for relationships, you know, with my parents, with significant others, at, you know, the workplace. Like, I'm finding that, you know, creating boundaries and everything is just, it's so important and key to gaining confidence in yourself, but also creating, like, you, it's also up to you, as I talked about in my last episode, like, it's up to you to control your life's purpose. Like, nobody can give you a purpose. You have to find it yourself. And you also have to give yourself the respect that you are wanting from other people. And so that's why I wanted to talk about setting healthy boundaries, how you can do it, what is a healthy boundary. And you can start with your parents, which is mostly, again, where we might have most of our issues, you know, even as adults. You know, it's so important to have those boundaries, because some parents just are pushy and want to control our lives still as an adult. You know, I in my body positive groups, there's so many women that are adults and their mothers are still commenting on their bodies and commenting on how they eat, among other things. So it's important that you, you know, learn how to create boundaries for yourself. And I will talk about why and the benefits. But I just want to say, first of all, that, you know, if you are a teenager living at home and you really feel unsafe, you know, because in no way is it okay to be verbally or physically abused. So if you feel afraid for your life or being verbally abused so bad, you know, please seek help from outside sources if you can. If you still live with your parents, you know, try to talk to another family member that you trust about getting you help, or maybe you could stay with them, or someone at your school, a school counselor, maybe even a friend that you trust to talk to their parents, something, you know, because being a physically abusive or verbally abusive household is just, it's unsafe. And and this goes for you people listening who might be in a relationship with a significant other that's physically and verbally abusive. In no way that's okay, and there's really no boundary to create other, I mean, well, there is a boundary to create, which is you have to tell them to, you have to leave, and you have to tell them that they can't be a part of your lives right now, or if ever. So I just wanted to say that, because that's not okay. And some people don't understand that, you know, certain thing, like being verbally abused is awful. You know, if you're constantly being told you're worthless, you're fat, you're stupid, you're a piece of garbage. Like, that's not healthy and it's toxic. And I'm not saying, fat isn't a bad word, but I'm saying if they're using it in a negative, abusive way, you know, it's terrible. So, but for those of you who may not be going through an abusive situation, just want to know how to set boundaries with your parents, that is what I want to discuss today. So, you know, how you can come up with a plan to set clear boundaries while keeping a positive setting, you know, because these are still people that you love and you don't want to, you know, be mean to them. You want to actually build the relationship up and improve it. So that's really the goal for setting healthy boundaries. And so you can do this to build your confidence and self-respect. So number one is to become self-aware. You first have to recognize the things that you like and dislike in your relationships. So that's with your parents or, you know, your significant other, your friends. Like I say, it's important to create boundaries in all your relationships with your boss, you know, your coworkers, like just every relationship. Whenever you feel uncomfortable or hurt by something, this is usually where a boundary needs to be set up or created. You know, so know what type of unhealthy boundaries that you are facing and deal with. So for example, there are two types of unhealthy boundaries. Those are rigid boundaries and porous boundaries. Rigid boundaries are where you tend to cut off people for hurting you instead of communicating how you feel, and instead of working out an understanding between you and another person. So you pretty much avoid intimacy, communication, and you're very protective of your privacy. Now, porous boundaries are when you pretty much become a doormat. So you can't say no to others and you accept abuse or bad behavior. You can also have a mix of these two type of unhealthy boundaries. It sometimes depends on the situation. Like maybe you don't set boundaries for people you work with, or maybe it's the opposite. You set boundaries at work, but you don't do it at home. And it also depends on the culture that you live in too. So that can be different. So I want to give examples of what some unhealthy boundaries look like, so you can be self-aware and be like, oh yeah, I do that, or I do act like that. Or because if you're not self-aware, if you're not aware of, you know, the unhealthy beliefs or boundaries that you have, you can't fix them. So an unhealthy belief, this is a porous boundary, is when you can never say no to others. So if you make the statement, I can never say no to others, that's an unhealthy boundary or belief. So instead, a healthy boundary belief would be, I have a right to say no to others if it is an invasion of my space or a violation of my rights. So that is true. You have a right to, you know, say no to others. I mean, so another unhealthy belief is, it is my duty to hold them together. Now, this is one, I would say, when I was reading these unhealthy behaviors, I noticed that I am more of a rigid boundary person, or I was. So I'm the type of person who would, like, cut people off or just ignore, straight up ignore people. Say, you know, I'll get you before you get me, and just, you know, draw up that wall, really. And so that was my boundary, which is not healthy at all. So this belief, it is my duty to hold them together, is something that I always struggled with, because I feel like I was always a parent to my parents, to my brother, you know, and I always thought it was my duty to hold everybody together, you know, through the tough times when my parents got divorced, and, you know, be a parent to my brother, and, you know, when my mom left, and that was the wrong mindset to have, because I, you know, you get exhausted when you, you know, take burdens of other people, especially if people don't take accountability for themselves and work to improve themselves. So a healthy belief to that statement, it is my duty to hold them together, is I have a right to take care of myself. If they want to stay together as a family or group, it is up to each individual to make such a decision. We all share responsibility to create the interdependency needed to keep us as a united group. And for me, letting go of feeling like I can hold my family together or, you know, make people better people, it's helped me so much, because I'm like, I know, like, I can only fix myself, and it's a full-time job plus overtime doing that. Like, it's ridiculous to think that you can help change other people. You know, you can only support and love them, but you can't, like, do all the work for other people. So that's a boundary that I've created for myself, and it's made me feel so much lighter. And I know a lot of people have that same unhealthy belief that it's their duty to hold everybody together. So another unhealthy belief is, and this is one I used to say at times, I can never trust anyone again. So, you know, I've heard a lot of people say that and close off to people, especially if you've been hurt. You know, it's easy to do so, and it's, you know, there's people that, you know, you see in Facebook comment, you know, I just hate human beings, and, you know, but that's an unhealthy belief, because you're closing off the good people that can be there for you. So a healthy boundary is I have a right to take the risk to grow in my relationships with others. If I find my rights are being violated or ignored, I can assertively protect myself to ensure I am not hurt. That statement changed my mindset so much, because, you know, it gave me my power back from the people that have hurt me. You know, I'm not going, like, because really when you're saying I can't trust anyone ever again, or when you say I'm never talking to my parents again, you know, you're really cutting off, you know, that you're really giving them the power to, you know, take away, you know, great relationships from your life. So you don't want to do that. You want to gain your power back by saying, you know what, I'm going to learn how to create boundaries. I'm going to have standards for myself, and that's how I'm going to protect myself. And so you won't be afraid of inviting people in, because part of building healthy boundaries is allowing yourself to open up and be vulnerable and invite that intimacy in. Because this is a, like, I feel like when people hear create a boundary, it's like, I feel like people look at it as a bad thing, like you're being a bad person or mean. But it's actually trying to help or improve a relationship by communicating your needs and your wants. And the people that love you should listen to your needs and wants and respect that. If not, you know, then they're probably just in the relationship for their own selfish reasons. I mean, if someone you love comes to you and tells them how they feel and ask, you know, requests that you do or don't do something, you know, for me, I would be like, I would respect that because that's a person I love. So that's what boundaries are really doing. It's not nothing bad. So the next unhealthy boundary is, this is a porous boundary. It doesn't matter what they are doing to me. As long as I keep quiet and don't complain, they will eventually leave me alone. So a more healthy boundary is, I will stand up for myself and assert my rights to be respected and not hurt or to be respected and not hurt or violated. If they choose to ignore me, then I have the right to leave them or ask them to get out of my life. See, that's a better, it's healthy because it's you're taking a stand on what you believe, you're standing up for yourself, and there's a consequence. So at the end of the day, it's saying you either respect me or you can't be a part of my life. Whereas the other porous boundary was like, oh, I'll just stay quiet and maybe they'll leave me alone, but you're still allowing this person to step on you, and so you're not really speaking up for yourself, and nothing's no one's gonna know how you feel because you're just gonna stay quiet about it. So that's why that's unhealthy. And then another common unhealthy boundary is, I'd rather not pay attention to what is happening to me in this relationship, which is overly intrusive, smothering and violating my privacy. In this way, I don't have to feel the pain and hurt that comes from such a violation. A more healthier boundary sounds like, I choose no longer to dissociate my feelings when I am being treated in a negatively painful way, so that I can be aware of what is happening to me and assertively protect myself from future violation or hurt. So setting boundaries is validating your feelings. You know, there's some people that, you know, and even when you do speak your feelings, some people might come back to you and say, oh, you're being dramatic or you're being sensitive, but you have a right to express your feelings and have those feelings validated. So that's what helps with that healthy boundary, is saying that, you know, I'm not going to sit here and be quiet. I'm going to call out your behavior, and you're going to listen to me express myself. Now, the last unhealthy belief that I want to talk about is the statement, I can never tell where to draw the line with others. So a more healthy boundary is, there's a line I have drawn over which I do not allow others to cross. This line ensures my uniqueness, autonomy, and privacy. I am able to be me the way I really am, rather than the way people want me to be, by drawing this line. By this line, I let others know this is who I am and where I begin and you end. This is who you are and where you are and where you begin and I end. We will never cross over this line, so that we may maintain a healthy relationship with one another. And I absolutely love that one, because it's saying I want a healthy relationship with you, but you need to know, like, where I'm at, who I am, and what I'm not willing to compromise. So if you can kind of get a sense of, you know, that, you know, it's so, why it's so important to set healthy boundaries. Like, I've probably, you know, said a statement that really hit home to you, and you might be thinking now, oh my gosh, I never knew that I wasn't setting a boundary for myself. And that's how I felt. So it's so important, step one, to become self-aware of those unhealthy boundaries or beliefs that you have had, and become aware of what lines you want to draw for other people. So the second step, which is kind of mingled in with the first step being become self-aware, the second step is to try to keep a positive attitude about it. Sometimes when you become self-aware, you become angry because you're like, wow, I can't believe I allowed someone to treat me this way, or I can't believe this person. So just, feel your feelings, but at the end of the day, try to keep it positive and focus on the good, because your goal is still to improve the relationship or the situation that you're in. I mean, as I said, a rigid boundary would be to cut people off. So you don't want to do that. You want to improve the relationship if that's what you're wanting. So you got to keep it positive. What has helped me is to realize that some things just may not be the other person's fault 100%. I mean, I don't justify, like I say, terrible behaviors like abuse or, verbal abuse. That's not what I'm saying. But just certain things, like in regards to dieting, if your mother is a chronic dieter or has an eating disorder, you know, chances are her mother taught her that, you know, and she just thinks that's kind of normal. And it doesn't help with diet culture saying that it is normal to have these yo-yo diets and feel bad about yourself. So just try to be compassionate towards the person and understand that they literally just may be unaware about all of what, you know, they're putting on you within regards to dieting and body image issues, especially for women. So many women aren't even aware of the pressures of society, of how, you know, women are just sexually objectified, and it's like so many women just feed off of it and think it's normal, and it's not. So just be compassionate with your mom, and by you creating boundaries and communicating how you feel, it should hopefully improve your relationship. So the third step is going to be to create a plan to speak to your parents, your mother, whoever you're going to create the boundary with. Write down the number of ways your parents have hurt you with the way they talk about your body or yourself. Write down how it makes you feel, and practice a plan of communication based on the things you wrote that hurt you the most. You'll have to then come up with the clear boundaries that you want. So for example, a boundary would be, a healthy boundary statement would be, you know, mom, I love you and I appreciate all you do for me, but I really don't appreciate you talking bad about my body or commenting on my body. It makes me feel bad about myself, and I really want you to stop doing that. So it's firm. Make sure you're not apologizing in there. Like, I've tried to eliminate the word sorry from my vocabulary. Like, the only time I'm going to use sorry is, like, if I, you know, if you bump into someone accidentally and you're like, oh, sorry. But friends, if you, for creating boundaries, if you start off with, oh, you know, sorry, mom, but no, you're not, you shouldn't be sorry. It's wrong of her to comment on your body. Don't apologize for something that's not your fault. So don't start off with apologizing. You know, if you're in a meeting and you're like, sorry, but I just wanted to say something. No, don't apologize for speaking your mind. So try to eliminate sorry from your vocabulary. And if you are truly apologizing to someone because you know you messed up or you've hurt their feelings, and you would say, I apologize. You wouldn't even use the word sorry. I always think the word sorry is kind of weak if someone's really, really trying to apologize. So then you have to let them know. Also, consequences if they don't follow your boundary. So, for example, it could be that you will no longer be part of the conversation and you will walk away. Or if you don't live with them, you'll leave. You have to come up with a clear boundary and a consequence you are willing to abide by when you plan to talk to them. You know, you have to stick with it and be firm. That's where the confidence comes into play. And that's where your self-respect, you're going to gain respect for yourself. And that's important, you know, because some people will always try to look for self-respect in other people, just like their self-worth, just like self-love. You can't find those things in other people. You have to give it to yourself. And when you create that boundary with a firm stance, a firm consequence, you're saying, you know, I respect myself, and so you need to respect me, or because I respect myself enough that I will leave, and I have, you know, I have a right to do that. So practice talking about your boundaries out loud so you can build that confidence and become more comfortable before you actually speak to them. I find that that helps. Now if your family is really abusive, or the person you're trying to talk to is really just mean, confrontational, and they won't even give you the chance to talk, you know, you'll have to really think about limiting your time with them and having possibly no contact, because you can't be around that toxic environment, especially if they're not going to be willing to listen to you. Again, that's where you have to respect yourself enough to remove yourself from that environment. And if you still live with your parents and are too young to get a job, I would, again, seek help to get out of that abusive situation. And, you know, or as soon as you're old enough to get a job, I would get one and save and get the heck out of there, because, you know, you don't ever have to stay in an abusive situation. And that goes for a relationship too. There's plenty of people that stay in abusive relationships. In fact, sadly, I think that's one of the main causes of death for women, which is domestic violence cases. So there's always a way out, even if it takes time or sacrifice. Like, you can do it. You just have to believe in yourself and again, respect yourself enough to get out. Quit looking for that respect for someone to give you that respect. No, you give yourself respect up front. You know, you don't want to live in a prison or continue to take such abuse, because your life will be just so much harder, or it'll be over if you're in a domestic abuse case. So please get out, and if you're in that situation. And especially if you're if you have children in that situation, you're gonna teach them that that's okay. That's, again, that's why I say, like, sometimes people grow up in those situations and they think it's normal, and it's not. So the last tip I have is, don't be afraid of intimacy. You know, opening up to anyone can be tough because we are allowing ourselves to be vulnerable with the chance of being hurt. You know, but opening up will bring you far more benefits in life, regardless if you get hurt at times. You know, if you open up to your parents or your mom, there's a huge chance that, as I said earlier, that they had no idea that they were hurting you. And this will actually, when you actually communicate how you feel, it might more than likely improve your relationship. She might be like, I'm sorry, I just thought I was doing the right thing, or, you know. And also, I want to share a story about the first time I opened up to my mother. It's a bit of a different story of how I grew up. You know, a lot of people, when they grow up and they grow up in a divorced household, it's usually the father who leaves. But mine was the opposite. I stayed with my dad. I've always been a daddy's girl. And my mom was the one who had major issues. And she put me through a lot of hell. I was, you know, either 7 or 8 years old. I mean, young, but I old enough to know what the hell is going on. And they, I guess, thought I didn't, which is weird. So I remember I'm 7 or 8 years old. It was unfair to me to have all this stress. And I'm at school in elementary thinking, how can I, like, my mom is hurting me. Like, I need to talk to someone. And I remember them saying there's a counselor to talk to. So I go to this counseling office and, you know, I don't even know what the hell kind of counseling office this was. But you go in and it's like not even a private area to talk. Like, the counselor just had me talk out in the open when there's like other people in there, which is weird now that I, you know, but I was young, whatever. But, you know, I told her my situation and there were kids that like laughed at me, you know, these young boys that are just little mean, you know, what's, so that hurt right away because I was like, expressing myself, and it is embarrassing, it is shitty, you know. I don't need no little boys, you know, I don't even need them in my space right now. But then, so the counselor just said, you need to talk to your mom about how you're feeling and that you don't think it's right. So I was like, you know, yeah, that's it, I'll tell her how I feel. Because I was afraid of my mom. She was pretty mean. And so I go home to my grandmother's. My mom worked, and my grandma took care of us after school. And I remember I was like, I can't wait till she comes home. I have to call her. I'm going to call her at work and tell her how I feel. Like, I can't wait till she comes. And I stayed with, my dad would pick us up, but I think that day she might have had us, or maybe I wasn't going to see her for a few days, because she would see us like every Wednesday and Saturday or something like that. But I just couldn't wait. I picked up the phone, she answered at work, and I said, you know what, Mom, you know, what you're doing is not right, and I don't like it. And I told her I went to my counselor and that, you know, I talked to her and they told me to tell you how I feel. And she like blew up and was like, why are you telling people our business or my business? And I can't even remember what she said, but she like hung up on me, you know. And, I mean, even as I talk about it, it hurts deeply. I mean, for a 7 or 8 year old girl to already be going through stuff she shouldn't be going through, You know, like I'm getting choked up now because it was a rough time. And as you can see, like things like that your parents or people you love and care about, like, you know, they don't realize how they hurt you. I mean, even as an adult, what I'm 31 now, what, how many years is that from? Let's see. 31, 24 years ago, I still talk about it, and it hurts me. But so I want to say this story because that might happen when you express yourself and talk about your boundaries. And I don't want you to, I mean, you're gonna feel hurt, but I don't want you to give up on communicating your boundaries. Because as that little girl, as I didn't understand boundaries at 7 years old, for God's sake, I kind of gave up, you know, expressing myself. Because number one, I was like, well, they're gonna laugh at me because of those little boys. No one's gonna care if I express myself anyway. I'm just gonna make people upset. I was doing like the poorest boundaries, just saying, oh, I'll just stay quiet and let it happen. And then as a teenager, I would do the rigid boundaries. I would just cut my mom off completely. I'd tell her I don't ever want to talk to you again. So I've had a rough relationship with my mother. And then finally, actually in the past couple of years, really, I started communicating again to her how I feel, and you know how in the past she's made me feel, and she's in a better place. She's not the angry person she was, so now she's in a better place to listen to me. And today she called me and she was like, oh, I wanted, you know, you were on my mind, and I wanted to call you. And we had, you know, a great conversation. And, you know, I'm getting choked up again because it's been a long road, but I can say that my relationship with my mother has improved tremendously because I've communicated. But I actually now, as an adult, have set that boundary. Whenever, if she ever talks to me in a certain way, I let her know, and I say, I'm not gonna be a part of this. I'm not. And so she's respecting that now, but mostly I'm respecting myself, and I'm separating myself from it. And so I don't allow the toxicity, and our relationship has improved because of that. And I'm actually trying to teach my mom how to create boundaries because she's never had learned healthy boundaries either. So I just don't want you to be afraid of opening up, and if you do get hurt or someone is confrontational, like, don't give up. Like, you deserve better relationships. And like I said, if there's some people that sadly you will have to cut contact with, if they're not gonna listen to you, compromise, you know. And but at the end of the day, it's good for you, as we talked about with healthy boundaries. Like, you have a right to take care of yourself. You have a right to express yourself. You know, you have a right to request what you want in a relationship and anywhere. So just be strong and know that creating boundaries will definitely increase your confidence. I know for me it's helped tremendously. Now I feel like I've gained respect for myself. I'm like, wow, who is this? Like, who is this badass? You know what I mean? Like, you know, I take control back of my life, and I don't allow people to treat me in a certain way. I draw that line. So I hope you all enjoyed this episode. If you did, please give me a rating. I would love to get the feedback and subscribe, and that way you can keep listening for more inspiration. And and follow me on Instagram. I would love to hear from you, and I would love you to join that community. All right, well, take care, everyone. Have a blessed week. Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to help support the podcast, please share it with others, post it on social media, or leave a rating and review. To catch all the latest from me, you can follow me on Instagram @MasterSelfLove. Thanks again, and I'll see you next time.